at 1 o'clock, and as of now, we've got 24 people, and so wanted to start with thanking everybody for joining us today. I also wanted to actually thank all the suppliers, buyers, pretty much anyone in the ski industry. I think these are interesting times, and collectively, we've put a lot of time and energy and thought into how to make this work. I think that the plans that are in place right now have been well executed, and we've got a lot of resorts that have opened up, and things are shaking and moving. And obviously the words fluid and unprecedented are part of this language skills that we've newly acquired. So I'm hoping that we'll have one of those fluid conversations today. I'm going to pull up my Word document here. I'm used to working on two monitors, downsized to one, just for travel reasons. And so I have to kind of go back and forth. So bear with me here, but I wanted to introduce the panels today. We've got Chris McKinnon from East West Hospitality. And I'm assuming everyone pretty much knows everybody now that, Ski Tops has been around for so long. So I'm going to make these introductions, but I'm assuming that everybody pretty much knows everybody. We also have Lindsay Cagley, Limelight Hotels, Melanie from Canyon Transportation, Ian from Black Ties, Mike from Ski Butlers, Kathy Elliott from Christie's Sports. So thank you guys for joining us today and giving us a little kind of inside look at what is happening in your particular sectors. So appreciate that. I also, this might sound really strange, but I also wanted to give a shout out to a group of people in the ski industry that I've come to know, and they're actually part of kind of the NSAA part of the ski industry, and we all oftentimes will find someone's suite to hang out in after the conferences. And one time we were kind of hanging out there, and somehow the name became the Meet Suite. It's where everyone meets up. It's spelled MEETSUITE. And so we actually ended up buying the domain name, themeetsuite.com. So you can go to that website and you'll see who's involved there. I'm on a text thread with these people, and I actually have a hard time getting work done because I'm constantly laughing at the inner exchanges of threads that are in that text thread. But shout out to you guys. It's been fun kind of being involved in that text thread, and of course themeetsuite.com. So I'm gonna move around here. I got to pull up my Word doc and get moving along here. And again, if I have background noise here, I'm gonna try to mute and unmute myself while I'm not talking. So keep in mind of that. So Lindsay, I'm gonna just kind of start with you here. What kind of discoveries have you guys had through this whole process on making things better for both the guests and your staff? And if you wouldn't mind sharing those, and then what of those kind of changes have you made that you think will stick around in the future here?
Sure. Definitely some evolution on services within the hotel. And I've heard so many stories from guests who travel and who have been traveling throughout COVID, and they're reporting things like no housekeeping service when they stay somewhere, or the included breakfast is reduced to a brown paper bag with, a piece of fruit and maybe a juice and a muffin. And we've taken the stance that our guests are still paying, and a lot of people in our industry are not actually reducing their rates just because we're not able to drive higher occupancies. But we still want to provide the service that our guests are looking for. So we are right now encouraging takeaway breakfast for guests, but we're still offering all the things that we normally offer at our hot included breakfast. And so it does cost us more to provide the service because now we have to staff the buffet. The guests can't even touch, the coffee urn to pour their own coffee. So things have evolved in that respect, but we still want to offer that service and create those experiences for our guests that they're expecting. So I think our attended coffee stations will remain. Our guests are actually upselling into other items at breakfast that are not included by having a staff attendant there. and we'll always offer breakfast as a takeaway option for our guests, rather than having everybody try to crowd into the same room, because our rooms are already set up to dine inside the room. So this is just a few little things that have changed, but the technology is probably the biggest piece, and I've heard that from a lot of you guys as well. Being able to stand up technology that we've been longing for, but either didn't have the financial backing for, or needed approval, or needed resources. So for example, around Aspen Snowmass, you'll see kiosks for printing your lift tickets and your season passes, so you no longer have any need to go into the ticket office to get your passes. And similar around the hotels and all of our mountain dining outlets, we now offer online ordering and are able to connect all of the outlets into one app, so that as you're skiing around, as you're visiting different Limelight hotels, the Little Nell, you can find their online ordering information and be able to get takeaway super easy, and pay without having to really have any, it's all touch-free technology, from a service standpoint. I think our guests will appreciate keeping those things.
Yeah, we had the fortunate opportunity to come up and stay at the Limelight the weekend for this. And it was kind of interesting coming up and seeing my kind of through my kids' eyes what the experience was. Like, they didn't care about the breakfast being in a box. They're just excited to be there and, you know, experience something new and have a different view. And so I believe that coming in with no expectations on any kind of experience is good. I think we used to set the bar at low expectations, but we've recalibrated that to have zero expectations, and that kind of sets people up for a big win. So I actually wanted to thank you guys for hosting us last weekend. It was interesting seeing the kind of the ticketing world and the rental world, and it kind of struck me that Aspen's a unique town, because we didn't have a place to put our shoes. We rented gear. We got that all sorted. And then when it came time to like put our shoes somewhere, they're like, oh, unfortunately, we're not able to do that this year because of the situation. And they're like, you could just go and put them outside, you know, and you can do that in Aspen. You know, I walked around and saw unlocked bikes everywhere, like high end bikes. And I'm kind of looking around like, does anyone see this bike over here?
I don't recommend leaving your bike just anywhere, but Aspen locals have been leaving their shoes outside in the snow for years.
So it's no different. But yeah, so I appreciate the feedback on all that, and thanks for everything you put together at the Limelight there. And Mike, I'll kind of ask you the same question. Efficiencies that you've had through the delivery ski rental world. Any kind of things that you think will stick around in the future that will end up benefiting customers and your company?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this has been an opportunity to really look inwards and kind of evaluate your business and model through these challenging times. And, you know, something we've been talking about for a while, but this was kind of the reason to implement it, is we have better communication model, where customers can now opt into email, text, or phone communication. And we know how they want to get communicated with, both in pre-arrival and when in resort. And that's been really well received, because as we all know, no one really looks at emails anymore. And the text message and phones have had a higher penetration of who wants to use those. So it's just been allowed us to have more engagement with our customers and make them feel more safe as we are approaching their delivery time. In addition to that, you know, we're doing limited or no touch boot fittings this year. And we're using that text message as the opportunity for the customer to identify how they want to work with us on the fitting. So if they want a traditional fitting, we will do that, or limited or no touch, and giving them the experience they want and the control they want to keep their families safe has really resonated with them. And you know, we're really coaching our team to have more empathy this year than ever before when interacting with these guests. And I think, you know, the no touch boot fits actually allow us to fit as many people at a time as we want, because we're actually just coaching them through the process from a safe distance. So we can, in theory, do 10 boot fits at once versus one at a time. And I think that's something that our COO has taken note of, to see if we can even continue that, you know, once COVID does end. So that'll really speed up our deliveries, both for the now. We want to limit the times we're in our guests, you know, accommodations with COVID. But, you know, in the future, we can also have a more efficient delivery process. In addition to that, we've gone completely paperless as a company. So we have iPads on all our deliveries for signatures and, you know, inventory and so forth, which is part of our green initiative. And then we have barcode scanning for our inventory instead of having to manually put it in. So we really just approach this as an opportunity to improve our technology for a better experience during COVID, but how can we also keep this going after COVID, you know, to keep our brand where we want and make those customers, no matter what their desires are, you know, happy and having fun with us.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece where, you know, taking a kind of a finite product and being able to scale it, you know, going from two people at one time fitting boots to 10. So, yeah, that's interesting and appreciate that. Ian, you kind of had mentioned some kind of scanning technology that helps you get the measurements pre-arrival. Can you kind of chat about that real quick?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're really excited to partner with a you know, really progressive company out of Boston. And their original specialty was body scans in the medical field. Then they moved over to head scans. They have a partnership with Rydell and the NFL. And we were able to connect with them over the summer. And, you know, they have some really cool new technologies with foot scanning. So we've partnered with them. And yeah, we're going to be able to do complete 3D scans of any guest's foot. We send out emails to all the guests or text with a link to the app. They download it, and I've done it myself a number of times. It's incredibly easy to do with the kids as well. So all of our locations will have a 3D image plus all the data that goes behind that of the guest's feet ahead of time. And for us, that really is a game changer versus just asking someone for their shoe size ahead of time, especially with, you know, myself having children, we know, you know, trying to get the kids' sizes is always an adventure. And with us going with limited and contact-free fittings, the foot scanning app really dovetailed perfectly with that. So it allows us to have an incredibly accurate measurement before we even go in the door. We have a much better, accuracy percentage of getting them fit right the first time. So that's something that we're really excited about. It's just kind of worked out, you know, well, if you want to say with COVID, and I think it'll really help us speed up the process as well as going completely paperless with Androids and Apple devices in all the rooms. Again, just to make the process that much easier. All the signing of the waivers will all be on guests' own phones. So we can text them right while they're in the room so they can sign off on everything. And, you know, again, just make it that much faster, that much more limited contact. And I really see all these things carrying over to post COVID times as well, to keep the process faster.
Nice. I want to kind of do a test real quick and just to see how this works in a kind of virtual world. But if you wouldn't mind raising your hand if you love the ski industry. Perfect. Can someone do me a favor and take a snapshot or a screenshot of that, of all of us raising our hand? Perfect. Now, I also want to ask a question. How many have found this year to be exceptionally challenging to sell ski vacations in the ski industry? Yeah, you know, it's something that unifies, I think, all of us that but this is a pretty interesting time, so we all need a shoulder to cry on occasionally, but I appreciate that. So I'm going to keep cranking along here. Here's kind of an interesting situation that I think a lot of us are fighting is, have you had any difficult circumstances so far in this season with guests that are, they're maybe possibly showing symptoms of COVID or flouting regulations on masks or distancing. And, you know, how have you handled those situations? And maybe Kathy from Christie Sports, I can kick that to you. But I think you probably have enough volume so far to kind of get an idea of what that may look like.
For the most part, we're seeing everyone in compliance. They're happy to be here. They're excited for ski season. We got kind of shut down at the end when spring break was here. So really there's a lot of pent up energy. Where we're seeing that those guests are having a hard time with the compliance are from the states that don't have the restrictions and tight protocols that we have in place in Colorado. And it's we've had to kind of go in and really preach, if you will, to some groups that are coming in that I know you can't understand this, but this is how it is. You must have a mask on. You know, we'll provide one for you if you don't, but it's not a Christie Sports specific thing. It is a ski industry for the state of Colorado. And for the most part, people are comfortable and in compliant, but we are seeing a little bit of people that are coming in and they feel like it's their right to be there. And it puts the retail restaurants, everyone in a position because you want the sale. You want the guests to come in, have a great experience, really exceed expectations during this trying time. In that fine line of how far are you willing to go, you know, before you have to ask the guests to leave, because there's so much more at stake for the health and well-being of your staff, for the other guests that are in the stores following those rules, without making the guests feel embarrassed or upset. And that's going to be a little bit of tweaking, because that's going to show up starting around the 18th for most of us, when that first big wave of Christmas guests come in resort. But I think we're hoping that the excitement of being there, seeing the slopes, seeing the snow, that they're one step on their way before they're skiing the next morning, or that that morning, that they'll be a little bit more understanding once they kind of see what the people around them are doing, and it's no big deal, and we're not trying to tell you can't do something against your rights, but it's just something to protect us all.
Yeah,
but we won't be scared, Brandon, that if someone refuses to be in compliance, to ask them to leave. We're not going to sacrifice our values and those around us for a sale. So we will. It's a last resort, but we will ask the guests to leave. Or we'll refuse if we're on a delivery and a guest is in the convenience of their condo and refuses to mask up because it's their condo. We'll be happy to leave the equipment and we'll walk away from that fitting.
Yeah, you know, I think most people have adapted pretty quickly to this, because this has been obviously a pretty dramatic shift in how we operate, not only socially, but business-wise and really the exchange of goods. People have, I think, adapted pretty more quickly than I would have ever expected, myself included. So that's kind of, I think, in our favor, that people, for the most part, know that it's not a business. I mean, it is a business decision, but it's also a state, you know, sanctioned or state restrictions that are in place that really you can kind of lean on as the supplier or the buyer. Like, it's not us, it's the state. You know, you kind of can schlep it off to them. So I think most people understand that. I'm hopeful that we can kind of go back to a new normal at some point, but time will tell. I'm gonna kind of ask a tour operator position question here. Has this situation that's, you know, since March 15th is the kind of D-Day in my mind, since then, has it made it easier or harder, or has it changed how you operate with tour operators? Is it becoming more difficult or simplifying the process? And maybe, Chris, I'll kick that question to you, if you wouldn't mind talking about that.
Sure. Thanks, Brandon. And hi, everybody. Great to see you all. I would say, has neither made it, you know, really harder or easier. Communication has been incredibly important, and you know, in my mind, you know, having, you know, been on both sides of the equation, on the supplier side and on the tour side, I think the relationships that we have and the way we've had to work through you know, different scenarios and challenges and constantly changing public health orders and communicating, you know, has just really in my mind shown how valuable these partnerships are. You know, day in and day out, we have to sometimes work through, you know, individual situations, and you know, I think we've done a good job of that. I hope, you know, as tour operators, you feel that way. You know, the in terms of, you know, business, you know, our, you know, looking forward into the remainder of the business, our business from many of you in all our destinations is super strong. And, you know, we're just, you know, really pleased to see that. Obviously, East West Hospitality is operating in, you know, two counties in Colorado, two counties in California, and then also in Hawaii. So, you know, we've been, it seems like every other day, you know, something changes, and we have to make sure that we're communicating to our guests. And Brandon, as you said, we're relying, you know, on following the public health orders by county, by state. And, you know, working with all of you on those nuances. I think what we found, you know, right after, you know, in March, you know,
March 15th, we took a really hard look at our policies. And, you know, I think, you know, policy can be even more important than rate at this point. So I think we landed in, you know, a great spot with our policies. And, you know, we had to also, you know, convince our owners, you know, all, you know, we're vacation rental, you know, our units are owned, you know, individually owned. And we also had to share and communicate with owners what our policies were and what our strategies were. And I think it's gone super well. So I would say, if anything, you know, it will be easier for all of us to work together, because we will have worked through some, you know, incredibly unusual times. And, you know, I think we're all learning. We're learning how to be nimble. We're learning how to be quick. You know, and we're learning how to, you know, be transparent and have, you know, have tough conversations, you know, when we need to, and support each other. So I would say, not harder, just better.
For sure. Yeah. It's two things happened. Two things have happened in the past 24 hours. Airbnb went public today. It is, I don't know if it's officially, it was supposed to be priced at like $68 a share. I would imagine that there'll be a lot of volume on that. And so it'll be interesting to see what it actually comes out at when it opens to the market. I put in for a whopping 25 shares. We'll see if I get it, because it's hasn't been executed yet. But so that's, in my opinion, an important piece to kind of keep an eye on. And then yesterday, DoorDash also had an IPO and went up from, it was supposed to be priced at like $100, and it opened at $180. So there's a lot of demand for those two things, and they kind of, in a strange way, they exist together, right? If you go on a ski trip and you can't eat at a restaurant in your desired ski town, you want to get an Airbnb and you want to get delivery food. So it's kind of interesting to watch. You know, I think it all impacts all of us. Mitch, you probably know quite well from your experience at Luxury Retreats. Did you end up walking away with any of those shares from Luxury Retreats?
I have to admit, I've got this screen over here on the Airbnb stock, and we're at 148 right now. So
it jumped $80.
Yeah, we're having an okay day here at my house.
But, you got some?
And I wish I was still on board with Airbnb and with Luxury Retreats, but I was part of the casualties back last spring. But I'm happy to hear that you guys are all doing well and everything's bouncing back.
Good. Well, Mitch, you're one to understand diversity, right? You diversify your business, your lines of business. You've got part stunt actor, you know, and then you also got your other hat. So I think in these times, it's actually important to have that diversity, because you never know when things are going to change. I've kind of been teaching my kids diversity. You know, I've tried to put them in archery and jiu-jitsu and gymnastics, and all of those got shut down. So that's why we're here in Mexico, because hopefully the beach doesn't get shut down. But anyway, I went off on a little Brandon tangent there, so I apologize. But Melanie, let's talk about transportation. I think transportation is really the definition of logistics, right? You've got people coming in from all over the world, and they're, you know, transportation can be one of those kind of last researched products that you purchase. And so can you kind of walk me through changes that you guys have experienced in the transportation realm and how that's impacted your lines of business, whether it's price or really just capacity?
Yeah, well, especially us, Canada Transportation, where we are big in shared rides, you know, that was our differentiator. We have a lot of competitors who focus mainly on privates. And so, yes, what we've seen this year, and we expected that, was a shift more towards private rides anyway for the longer booking windows. Anyway, the people who are planning in with their pod. It's a small pod, but it's still larger than the ones and twos that were really attracted to our low rates on the shared rides. And we'll see if those come last minute. But right now, yeah, that's the trend we're seeing. We've also introduced, like, really early on, we just said, okay, well, if people are not going to be comfortable, or if the if our state is not going to allow us to actually run shared transportation, we still want to be able to accommodate people at a lower price. So we've introduced lower price privates for Utah. Now, our rides are pretty fairly short, so we, you know, that's fortunate for us. I know there's some areas in California and Colorado where the rides are longer, and of course the exposure could be longer if you have if you're sharing with people from other parties. But we ran Express Shuttle, my other business, all summer, reopened in June, and that's mainly the residents of Salt Lake. Usually there's business visitors, but we didn't have much of that this summer. But as soon as people started traveling again in the summer, we saw that there was still a demand for from these individuals traveling to the airport and back, and shared was still the same ratio in our demand for that segment of our business.
Oops,
Brendan, we can't hear you.
I muted myself because of the background noise there, but I was saying that the transportation world is its own little animal. You know, I've dabbled in it in the past with a different company, and kind of learned a lot that it's, you know, it's people showing up at the, they're supposed to be there at the right time, right? So you've got, you know, how are you guys handling cancellations? We kind of talked about it yesterday on our pre-conversation, but are you having to really, like, how do you communicate with them? Are you calling them at the airport saying, are you here? And or dealing with those kind of cancellations of the kind of fluidity of it all?
Yeah, well, just the same theme as everyone, you know, like this was the year where we had technology that was available to us in the past and we never deployed it because we wanted to keep that personal touch of you know, taking care of the customer face to face. So now we have, we've deployed the ready to go feature where as soon as they land, they get a text pushed to them, telling them to actually follow this link when they're ready to go with their luggage. And then they can find us at the airport if they need to, but we're going to reduce that bottleneck of just humans crowding in front of our desks with that tool. And then we're Mike saying, you know, text messaging more than ever. And our customers this summer have loved it that we were that available, and there's a lot more interaction with them as they're traveling. So when they are now in late, we see if their flights are delayed, but if they had to be put on another flight, that's something we don't know. But because all throughout the day or the day before, we've been in touch with them by text, by, you know, asking them to confirm that they're really arriving tomorrow at that time. Then during their trip, we've seen the change in behavior where they're like, you know what, actually I got on another flight, can you please change me? And all that is done with our dispatcher by text, and that's really, really helped. But yes, we will have last minute cancellations or no shows for sure. And you know, if you know Utah, there's always canyon closures. This year, they're going to be even earlier in the night, and we'll run into this extra logistics of our late flights, maybe not being able to make it to Alto Snowbird that same evening. But there's 30 years of experience of us dealing with that. It's just a little different, but a lot of the same.
Yeah, you know, kind of as you were talking about that, and you know, thinking about all the pre-arrival messaging that is now part of kind of the, really almost a mandatory tool in your toolkit for communication. You know, I think there's a big opportunity for like a platform that, and I'm sure that there is this. I think I can't, like IMAP or something that you know pulls it all and aggregates it into one platform, so that you're getting the information from one system instead of all this piecemeal communication, email, text, phone calls. Just a thought. I'm sure that there's people that are doing that, but might be more important now than it ever has been. I'm gonna keep cracking along here. And have you guys experienced, and again, this is kind of preliminary, right? We're all kind of at the beginning of the season, but Lindsay, I'm gonna kind of cue you up for this. Have you noticed a different traveler, whether it's age or geographic or really just kind of a shift year over year of who's traveling right now?
Well, I mean, definitely a huge difference for us because we rely so heavily on international business, and we're not holding our breath, right? Where we would love to see our Brazilians return, we would love to see our Australians return, but what's happening is we're creating availability and inventory for new customers and new guests. So we are seeing regional customers who don't typically ski Aspen or visit Aspen drive up here for a long weekend because they want to get away. And a lot of these guests, it's their first trip anywhere, and they're just bursting at the seams to be somewhere, see other people. And they're also scared at the same time. And they're really pleased to see all the safety protocols when they arrive and they're relieved. But also the definition of regional is changing for us because our drive market is, you know, all the way down to Texas, right? And so there are more people driving here. We're seeing license plates from California, and it just is redefining the drive market for us. And it's people who are able to hop in the car and go. They're able to stay for longer oftentimes because their kids are remote learning. And it definitely impacts the type of guests and the market that they're coming from. But we are seeing and hearing that travelers are coming from Mexico. That's one of the few international markets where we're seeing guests from. But we are hoping that in some of the recent news that we'll start to see some of those borders open up and some of those guests be allowed to travel again.
Did you say you're seeing clients from Mexico? Did I hear that right?
Yes, we have some guests from Mexico.
Nice. Well, I've got some people from Dallas that are staying right up here. It's a big party. And so they're in Mexico, but I'll work on kind of pushing them your direction.
If they're having a party, don't give them my card. We're not allowing parties right now.
I'll tell them to pre-party here and then take a little break and then cruise up. Actually, two of them have already had it, so maybe they're welcomed. You know, I it's kind of an interesting thing. If you've already had COVID, are you now free to roam about? I know, Mark, you mentioned that you had your little Rona vacation in the basement. Now do you feel like you can kind of go out and be part of society and shake hands? And
Well, I think that the truth is I have to emulate the correct behaviors and wear a mask and act that. But per medical advice, I am the least contagious person that you can meet. So I'm not going to be the one that gives it to you. But we still have to emulate the community behaviors. So it's a very, very interesting time. And the interesting point is that when you do have it and people know, you got to be careful because they might think you're a leper or that you're going to kill them with your breath or something like that. So I have to be cautious that, you know, I'm like really the protected one, even though I know fully well that I wouldn't be out of my house if I thought I could kill you.
Right.
So, I mean, it is interesting, but Lindsay, you do make a great point. I mean, it's like, you never know who you're around or who you're inviting in. And that's what, you know, I don't know if we're going to talk about California and those things today, Brandon, but we're in for an interesting winter, right? With all of that.
It is raining here pretty good. So we're going to do a lightning round. You guys ready for a lightning round? I'm going to do some word association. I'll start with the panel and I may migrate to other people. So get ready to possibly mute or unmute. I'm going to do some word association. You guys have seen this before. I'm having troubles with my mouse now, hold on, because it's wet. Bear with me. 1 minute, I gotta go get a towel to wipe off my keyboard. Hold on.
Dude, Feehan, you should fill the space, dude. What's going on in Cali?
Got a little, I love how informal these are, that I can just go get some paper towel and start cleaning my computer up here in the rain. I do have an umbrella, but it's not quite doing its job. Can someone tell this umbrella to stand up and be a contributing member?
Hey, Brandon.
Yeah.
Mark was asking me to see if I could give a quick update. This is Adam. I can give a quick update on kind of all the fun that's going on in California while you mop your sure. your space.
Good.
So yeah, it's kind of funky. So California's been broken up into 5 regions. The two most important that we look at are Southern California, which would be Mammoth, and then the Greater Sacramento area, which would be all of Tahoe. And essentially, it's now if the ICU bed availability falls below 15%, then by midnight the day following that, you basically have to shut down pretty much everything. It's a stay home order. So we can still, and we will be operating and turning lifts. The storm door is opening actually. So starting Saturday for 6 days, there's snow in the forecast, which is spectacular. As it relates to Altera's properties on Monday, Mammoth canceled all lodging reservations through December 26th. They're currently still taking reservations starting the 27th. But they only are allowed to take lodging reservations for essential travel. Strangely, the film industry is still labeled that. So we've got some commercial shoots coming in next week. But the squad just, so the Southern California region moved to that tier right away. Greater Sacramento area just moved to it as of yesterday. It's a 3 week minimum in that zone. And so starting tonight at midnight, Tahoe, which is gonna be funky because the east side of Tahoe has a whole lot of Nevada lodging that is available. So a lot, I think Reno and South Shore on the east, on the Nevada side will fill up, but we're canceling all reservations at Squaw, unfortunately, through January 1st. So it's a big hit and really unfortunate, but there's not really an option there. So that's the current state of events.
Adam, I'm gonna need a stiff drink or two after that update. Yeah. That's challenging.
Cool. Back to you.
I mean, we're all kind of expecting it. I know that Erica, raise your hand, Erica, my sister and partner over there. We talk a lot, and along with Heather, is we've had to do kind of two things. We've had to act as if we're going to have a wonderful season. There's going to be tons of snow. People are going to be buying ski vacations, and then there's also this other part where you know, I think I had post-traumatic stress syndrome in March, as we all did. You know, I got to be honest, I'm a little afraid to sell. I think all of us are. You know, you want to get a bunch of stuff on the books, but you don't want to have to cancel, because that ultimately puts you upside down. So, you know, and that's a classic example. We haven't actually launched tickets for Mammoth, and you know, now I'm kind of like, well, that's maybe a good thing, unfortunately.
Hey Brandon, this isn't an upsell to Utah, but it's just an upsell of optimism. I was at Deer Valley and I'm coaching up there full time on weekends now. So I can tell you that they're operationally taking this very, very seriously, to a point where their expectation is to be able to operate an entire winter. And all of the Utah ski areas have done that. It's weird. It's different. It's very alternative, and it's not even the Deer Valley service that we'd all be used to, because it can't be. You can't have people smiling at you. But the bottom line is that all of the Utah ski areas are so different. And Adam, I'm stoked to hear that you guys can still spin the lifts. So I think right. We have, as an industry, we have to use the optimism that is there, because we all know, working in our businesses, that it's just going to be down. We're going to be whatever, 10%, 20% of what reality really is. So survive this winter. There's hope coming. But it is happening. So as long as we can survive whatever that is, I mean, I do feel good that the lifts can spin and that something can be had. It's just fractional of what we're used to, and that's what's uncomfortable.
Hey Brandon, just on that note too, I think, you know, the lifts are turning at North Star, at Squaw in Colorado. You know, hats off to our resort operators who have really done, I think, an incredible job, you know, in Aspen Snowmass as well. To really think through how to operate in this scenario. I know, you know, for our product, for East West Hospitality, we had, you know, record summer. So we actually had some practice on, you know, more practice than we would have imagined on how to implement safety protocols, keep our staff safe, keep our customers safe, communicate, you know, be good community stewards. So, you know, I'm optimistic. You know, right now, you know, there are things that, you know, we can control rate, we control price, but we can't control COVID, and we can't control the weather. You know, right now, I think I love that Adam just noted that the storm door opened, because, you know, really, I think that's what we need. And, you know, frankly, you know, the skiing in Beaver Creek is quite good. The Vail Resorts, you know, in a different way than they have before, really worked hard to open, you know, access through into Bachelor Gulch, up through the Weston Gondola and up into Bachelor Gulch, to have good terrain there, and so that everyone wasn't, you know, pushed into the Centennial lift. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of that, you know, at Vail and in Aspen and Snowmass and other destinations as well. So I'm optimistic, and, you know, and I think we keep selling, you know, we're gonna, you know, if we had, when we do, we've had great success, I would say, as well in offering credits for future stays. You know, our winter customers are skiers. They love their sport. You know, skiing is part of their DNA. And we've had really great success, you know, with, you know, future credits. And even now we're willing to extend credits out all the way through April of 2022. You know, I think it's interesting too, on some of the credits, people that have rebooked for Q1, we're seeing that because they had some money in the bank, you know, as a credit, we're seeing those people are upgrading, and, you know, upgrading to maybe a ski in, ski out versus a, you know, ski in, walk out. And I just think there's, you know, a lot to be optimistic about. And, you know, it's, yeah, you got to be brave to sell in this environment. But I think that's, you know, the culture we need to be as an industry right now, is we need to be brave, and we need to really be forward thinking, and know that, you know, this is going to be another 3-4 months, and, you know, whatever happens for this winter happens. But then we're going to have, I hope and believe, you know, especially on the international front, that there'll be pent up demand that will just, you know, we're going to need to be prepared for, you know, a fantastic winter in 21-22.
Yeah, this too shall pass, right? That's a good mantra to live by, and one day at a time, those two things kind of exist together. Does anyone have any questions from the group? If you guys have any questions, you can send them on over through the chat feature, and say we got about 5 more minutes, and we can skip the lightning round. It's just kind of word association, whatever you guys want to do. This is pretty open, so. Give you a couple more seconds there to send over any questions, and the rain seems to kind of be holding off here.
Well, it hasn't started snowing in Avon yet, but it's looking like it might.
I'm not seeing any questions come through, so feel free to send those over if you want, and then we'll do, I think I'm going to continue with the word association idea, and Lindsay, I'll, you know, I say the word, and you know, say it, one or two words associated with that, and we'll kind of, I only have about 11 of these, so we'll maybe go from there, and then we'll wrap it up here, but I'll start with ski towns.
No math.
Nice. Kathy, 2020.
Hell, but it's only going to get better from here.
Nice. 6 feet. That's for Mike.
Powder dump.
Nice. Thought you'd go there. Tour operators. That one is for Melanie.
Amazing.
Airbnb. That one's for Chris.
Great opportunity. Great channel. It really has done a lot to drive vacation rental business for, you know, for many of us.
Kathy, Zoom.
Lifeline.
Yes. Chairlift conversations. Ian.
Nice mask.
Essential.
Nice mask.
Singles.
Oh, sorry, Ian. I thought you said Fian. Sorry.
Singles line, that is for Mike.
No longer.
Nice. Well, it's 1:46. I try to keep these to 45 minutes, so I'm 1 minute over my goal. But I've enjoyed these, and I'm super glad that I get to ask these questions. I ask my family a lot of questions, and they get kind of annoyed with me. And usually they're like, "What are we going to eat tonight? What are we going to do this weekend?" So it's fun to ask some actual legit questions, and especially with the esteemed panel here. And so I appreciate everyone's time, and you know, I think you guys know the news by now that Mount Bachelor Ski Tops in Bend and at the River House is on pause. We're as a group really working towards figuring out what our next steps are. And you also obviously know that this is a nonprofit, and we work really hard as a board and as a team to make this happen. So I'm not going to get on the soapbox and talk about membership versus membership, but just kind of keep us in mind as we try to navigate all this, and we obviously as a board want to keep this thing afloat and see how it transpires. So I wish you guys all the best, and we'll keep communicating. And I hope I wasn't too choppy with my internet, but I think I'm gonna sign off and go hang out with my kids.
Brandon.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, Brandon.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.